Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Amen and amen. Father, we give you the praise for your Word. As we sit around and gather around your table, we pray that you feed us this afternoon. Speak to my soul as you speak to your people, Father God. Encourage us today, my Father, God of glory. Let unchangeables be changed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, as your word comes forth. Let unbelief, oh Father, go in Jesus' mighty name, my Father. Oh, let diseases be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let ideas be born and birthed in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Impregnate us with your word, my Father, that we may be able to go out and do that which you created us to do, unhindered, unfettered, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We give you the praise, for the entrance of your word brings light. Enlighten our paths, and all the honor and the glory will be yours. We give you praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. This afternoon I want to speak from a subject that I have called the capacity of hope. The capacity of hope. During this week, in one of the lunch hours, that word hope came up. That word hope came up. And I thought that we would revisit this afternoon. Many people have lost hope. There is a lot of concern around us. There's a lot of concern around us about the future. There's a lot of concern. So, socio-economic issues are growing more dire. The political status of many countries is in peril. There seems not to be stability, no sense of security. The pandemic is growing more aggressive, and our health services are completely inundated. Many people have lost their lives due to this pandemic, leaving behind many orphans, leaving behind many widows and widowers. Hallelujah. And most of us that are still alive are in fear. We're in trepidation, fear of one another. That's why we are being locked down, so that we cannot interact. Because what God created us for us to do, to interact, is being curtailed by this virus. And the question is there hope? That's a question on many lips, on many hearts this morning. I've come to encourage that kind of person. For you who has hope, keep it. But still listen to this message. Maybe one day you will need it. It will help you. Is there hope of being rescued? Is there hope? Someone said that if you can convince a man that there is no hope, he would curse the day that he was born. If you would convince a man. And that's what the enemy does. The enemy's purpose is to convince us that there is no hope. Is to convince us that whatever comes your way is the end of the road. To convince us that adversity marks your end. And we normally say, I am finished. We pronounce and give it more fire. I have come to announce to you that you are not finished. That's not the end of the road. It is just a bend in the road. Hallelujah. You will get to your destination. You will get to your goals. You will realize your goals in life in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living. I decree and declare you are not going to leave the face of this earth without accomplishing that which what Jesus Christ or God are predestined for you. No devil, no power can thwart that. Therefore, I pronounce that there is hope for you. Hope is an indispensable attribute of life. It is a strength to those who have it, and you must keep it if you have it. But if you don't have it this morning, we are praying that God gives you hope. May hope come your way. May hope come your way. May you have room for hope. Make room for hope. That's what I'm saying today. Make capacity for hope. Create capacity for hope. You've got to create capacity for hope in order to make it in life. You must have capacity for hope. You must have room for hope. Many years ago, an S4 submarine was rammed by another ship, and it quickly sank to the bottom of the sea. The entire crew was trapped in its house of death. Other ships rushed to the scene of disaster off the coast of Massachusetts. No one knew what took place down in that submarine. But one thing was for sure, that there must have been some men who were bravely clinging on to life as oxygen was being given out. So one of the divers on the rescue mission placed his helmet after reaching the vessel. He places his helmeted ear to the side of the vessel and listened. He listened and listened. And after a while, he heard a tapping noise. Someone was tapping out a question in the dots and dashes of the Morse code. And the question came slowly, was, is there any hope? Is there any hope? Have you come with hope? He was asking, is there somebody there to help us? And that seems the cry for humanity today. Is there any hope? The answer is yes, there is hope. And rescue is already here. Your rescue is in Jesus Christ, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ is our hope of glory. Colossians chapter 1 verse 27 declares, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you. Is Christ in you? If Christ in you, you have hope. There is hope of glory in you. Hallelujah. Christ is our hope. Our hope is built in Jesus Christ. Our hope is not built in the things of men. Our hope is not built in the wisdom of men. Our hope is not built in the things made by men. Things made by men will pass away, and as we can see, they are crumbling down. The systems cannot hold. The center cannot hold anymore. Everybody left center and right. That's why we are hidden in our houses. That's the only solution they have. Go home. I don't blame them. They are just human beings. But there is hope. And our hope is not in the politicians. Thank God for them. We thank God for the leaders. We obey them. We honor them. But our hope is not in them. My hope, your hope, must be in Christ. The Christ who is in you. Hallelujah. The hope of glory is the fulfillment of God's promise to restore you. He will restore you. I speak to somebody who has lost everything during this season. You have lost relatives. You have lost loved ones. You have lost a job. There is a hope for you. There is hope for restoration from above. Rescue is here. This hope is not just wishful thought. It's not just wishful thought. Rather, it's the confident, expectant joy of the awareness that God is at work in your life. God is at work in your life. You may not see it. It may seem like he's not there. But I have news for you that he is at work in your life. This hope is based on the knowledge that all things, not some, all things are working together. They are working in tandem, the good and the bad. They are working for those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose and plan. Mark those words, purpose and plan. Romans 8:28. Everything that God allows to come your way is for a purpose. It is designed according to his purpose. Some of them are bad, yes. But at the end of the day, they will make sense. At the end of the day, when the dust has settled, they will make sense. I cannot explain why things go wrong, why we go through thick and thin. If I could explain that, then my God would not be a God. I cannot explain that. There are some things that God left to himself. We'll only know when we get to him. But one thing that encourages me is when I normally watch some of these documentaries that talk about how things are made. When you look at these documentaries, you begin to realize and see the things that we so much like. You know, our eyes are open to the terrible things they go through before they hit the shelves in the supermarkets or in the tech stores. This microphone I'm holding, my friend, went through a buttering. Even when it is at the end of its manufacture, the manufacturer has got to subject it to serious torture. He gets, for example, he can get this microphone and hit it against the wall. What is he trying to do? He wants to test its rigidity, its power, its tenacity. Talk about the helmets that people use for motorcycles and whatever. Before they are released, they are subjected to terrible tests. And that's you and me, my friend. Before God can release you to become his mouthpiece, to become, oh my God, you must go through some stuff. Painful, yes, but necessary. All things work together. They are working together. Nothing is working in isolation. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. Therefore, we need to have hope. Hope, therefore, is the basis of all human existence. In Christ. In Christ. Without which we die while walking. If we don't have hope in Christ, you die while walking. A person who has lost hope is dead. You do not die when the last breath. You die when you lose hope. You cannot afford to lose hope. Is there hope? Someone, during this pandemic, all the lights have gone out. You have lost livelihood, loved ones. Somebody watching me, you are ill with a terminal condition and you have lost hope. But there is hope. There is hope. God is able to heal you. If he wills, he's able. There is nothing he cannot do. There is a mother watching me right now. Your children have gone wayward and you are wondering what's going on. What did I do wrong? There is nothing that you did wrong, my friend. The guy speaking to you right now once went wayward. My parents were Christians. I grew up in a Christian home. But when I got to my teen years, I mixed up with the wrong crowd and I lost it. People who see me today cannot believe I'm here. Because all the guys, my friends, my peers, they are all dead. How I am alive today, I cannot explain it. I can guarantee you that there's still hope for your child. Your child is not going to die. Your child is coming back home in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Maybe your spouse whose husband or wife is driving you to the wall, that man or woman will come around in the name above every other name. It's the man and the woman who are desperate to have a spouse. You are desperate for marriage, or you are already married and you are desperate for children, and nothing is coming. And now you think that the clock is against you. I can guarantee you that there's still hope. God is able to do it. A business is struggling and being at the brink of going under. God is able. Someone is waiting for legal documents that they make that may make their life easier. God is able. There's hope. While you are still groping in the dark, it's like there's no glimmer of light at the end of this dark night. But I can guarantee you that this night will end. There is hope. There is hope. In spite of the darkness that surrounds you, there's a lot of things that give us hope for the future. Number one is Jesus Christ. As long as I am in Him, I have hope for the future. I will not be dejected. I will not recoil in despondency. I have hope. I may have lost it yesterday, but I have hope for tomorrow. Weeping may endure for a night, the Bible says, but joy comes in the morning. We have God in the God that we serve. The one who has good plans for you. Remember that scripture we read in Romans 8:28, according to His plans. He has plans. He knows what He is doing. Remember, you are the clay and He is the potter. When the potter puts the pot on the spinning wheel, the pot, whatever the vessel is there, begins to ask itself, what have I done? Do I deserve all this spinning? The potter is spinning this vessel according to the finished product he has in mind, according to the design. He's spinning it, looking at the design. As he spins, he looks at the design. Not yet. He spins the more. Some of us are, oh my God. The design is coming out in Jesus' mighty name. There's hope. In the one who has good plans for you, my friend. Judah is invaded by Nebuchadnezzar. He destroys Jerusalem, the city. Not only does he destroy the city, he also encroaches on the temple and destroys it. As if that was not enough, he takes the most valuable golden vessels of the house of God back to Babylon. He kills many leaders, he kills many people, and takes with him the survivors back to Babylon. He takes people into exile. It was a very dark moment for the children, for God's children. There was no light at all. And they wondered, where is God? At times you're asking yourself, where is God? God is there. God is omniscient. God is omnipresent. He never takes a holiday. He is there. Even when you think He's not there. Even in this pandemic, He is there. He is there. For these exiles who were taken by Nebuchadnezzar, it was like life had come to an end. Their hopes were completely shattered. All that they had planned had just gone down the drain. Is that somebody like you? Whatever you have planned, you had plans for 2020. Huh? The government had plans for, everybody had plans for 2020, but everything has gone into tatters. So like there's no light at the end of this tunnel. While the children of Israel in exile were still, in scratching their heads, God reassures them through prophet Jeremiah in chapter 29 of Jeremiah. From Jerusalem, he sends a letter to the exiles. He sends a letter to the prophets and the priests. Imagine some priests and prophets were also taken. This did not spare anybody. Like this pandemic has not spared anybody. When you see preachers preaching to empty chairs, you know that things have become serious. Oh my goodness. So he sends a voice of hope to them. God is sending you a voice of hope this morning, like he did for the children of Israel in the name above every other name. He sends a voice of hope, reassuring them that exile does not mark the end of their lives, that this is gonna be well with them. This is not your end. This is not how it ends. It's gonna be well with you. Assuring them, one time you will come back home to Israel.
One time you'll come back home. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4, the Bible says, thus says the Lord of hosts. This is the letter, part of the letter that Jeremiah is writing to the children of Israel. This applies to us. He says, thus says the Lord of hosts, of the God of Israel, to all exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Did you notice that? God says, I have sent them. God allowed it to happen. He allowed this attack from Nebuchadnezzar to come. God, when we see you, we have many questions. No wonder God he hides himself. If everybody knew God's address, guess what? All of us would be pounding at that door asking, God, why? God, why? We need you to speak now. We will just know when we see him. So he says, just be calm where you are. Be calm. In verse 5, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce. Just relax. Relax. Take wives and sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, and that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there, and do not increase, do decrease rather. Verse 7. But seek the welfare of the city whilst you are there, where I have sent you. Pray to the Lord on its behalf for its welfare, and you will find welfare. Hallelujah. Verse 9, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, there is a period that has been designed and tabled for that issue that is before you. Once that time is done, once it has served its purpose, you are returned and restored to that which to an even more glorious life in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, once the 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you and I will fulfill to you my promise. I will do what? Fulfill to you my promise. Every one of us is a promise. Every human being is a promise. And because you are not a promise from man, but a promise from God, a God who never fails, he will fulfill his promise and bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know. God knows the plans he has for you. You do not know them. I do not know them. But one thing I am sure about is that there is a God who cares for me, and he knows best. I have good plans for you, declares the Lord. Plans of welfare. Not for evil. To give you a future and a hope. To give you a what? A future and a hope. There is a future and a hope. A good future at that. A good future. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Once he is done with this process, there is a future for you. It doesn't end here. There is a future for your children. It doesn't end here. There is a future for that business. There is a future in Jesus' mighty name. There is hope. God's plans must stand. God's purposes must stand. You are God's purpose. You are God's plan. And his plans in you have got to stand. That's what he says in Isaiah 14, 27. For the Lord of hosts has purposed. The Lord of hosts has purposed. Who will annul it? Who will stop it? Who will thwart it? His hand is stretched out. And who will turn it back? I can guarantee you, not even the pandemic can do that in your life. No. He has purposed and he will fulfill it. Psalm 33, 11 says, but the Lord's plans stand firm forever. They stand unwavering. Nothing can shake them. They stand firm. They withstand all the vicissitudes, all the treachery weather that the enemy throws at them. They stand forever, and his intentions can never be shaken. They can't be shaken. Nothing can shake that promise called you. Nothing can shake that plan called your child. Some of us say, oh my God, you see, I had not planned for this child. You had not planned for that child, but God had. God had. So stop saying, oh, my parents had not planned for me. God had planned for you. That's why you had to come. That's why that face is here. Because you are a plan of God. And God's plan cannot be annulled. It cannot be, his intentions cannot be changed. They cannot be destroyed. No matter the darkness around you, God's purposes for you must prevail. They must prevail. They must prevail. You need to know that they must prevail. The more you know it, the more you have hope in the future. Hallelujah. Why? Because he is the light in that darkness. He will shine that darkness into oblivion in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. The Bible speaks of a city, the city of God in Psalm 46, verse 4 to 5. You are the city of the Lord. I am the city of the Lord. He says, although the mountains are moved and they are taken into the sea, although there is trouble all over, he says, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of the Lord. The city of the Lord, the city of the Lord, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. She will not be moved. I refuse to be moved. You must refuse to be moved, because God is not moved. If God is not moved, why should you? Why should you? She will not be moved, because God is in her. God is in you. Emmanuel. Jesus Christ. His name is Emmanuel. God with us. God is in your midst. God is in the midst of that chaos. God is in the midst of that trouble. God is in the midst of that adversity. You must not be moved. The Bible says God shall help her just at the break of dawn. There is a break of dawn that will come and break that darkness and bring light into your darkness. Even in your darkness, he is the light. He is the light, still shining bright. Therefore, do not give up. Paul, the apostle, appeals to Caesar. He says, I want to go to Caesar. I want to go to Rome. I am going to Rome. And guess what? They put him on the ship together with some other prisoners. In Acts chapter 27, he's put on a ship to Rome to appear before Caesar. They are on this ship, but not long after, they are hit by a tempestuous wind. A tempestuous wind called the Euroclydon. I don't know what wind has hit you. This one was called a Euroclydon. Every wind has a name. Every wind has a name. As long as you are going somewhere, there will be a wind that will come. Winds do not count people who are going nowhere. If you are in the midst of a storm, know that you are going somewhere, and the enemy is not happy about that. So they were in this storm, and the Bible says in verse 20, when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. It doesn't tell us how many days. Many days they were in pitch black. Some of these kids here have grown up in this city where they are full of lights, but some of us used to grow up in pitch black. And in those situations, I would be drunk. I don't even know how I would make it home. In pitch black. Ronnie, I'm talking pitch black. You can't even see your finger if you do this. It's like our feet had eyes. You understand? Our feet had eyes. Pitch black. No ray of hope. For many days, there was no sun. There was no light. No sun, no stars. No sun, no stars appeared for many days. That is somebody right now watching me right now in that situation. There is no light. There is no sun. And on top of that, the tempest was still beating on them. The tempest was still high. And the Bible says, Paul the apostle, the great apostle, The writer of most of the New Testament, the Bible says that he lost hope. All of us, he said, all our hope of being saved was at last abandoned. They abandoned the hope. Somebody has abandoned hope. You cannot abandon hope. When you abandon hope, it's like you have abandoned God. It's like you have abandoned Christ, because Christ is your hope, my friend. The New King James Version says that, they finally gave up hope. Somebody has given up hope. The King James Version says it was taken away. Hope was taken away. The enemy knows how to snatch away our hope. Snatch it. And he takes it away. The message says we lost all hope. Their hope tank became empty. They had hope. They had hope. It began to be depleted. Began to be depleted. Whenever your hope is depleted, it is being filled up with something else. And that's why this afternoon we have come to decant, to jettison everything that is the opposite of hope in our tank. We want to create capacity for hope. I want to create capacity for hope. Hallelujah. All hope was gone. But the Bible says that in verse 23, that God sends Paul hope. God sends, when you ask for hope, because Paul had been praying, when you pray to God, he replenishes your hope. Even this afternoon, he's replenishing somebody's hope in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Your tank has got to overflow with hope. Verse 23 of the same chapter, Acts 27. Paul stands and reports to these other guys. He says, for this night, this dark night, where there was no stars, where there was no sun, God sent an angel. An angel of the Lord visited me. He stood by me this night. The angel of the God whom I belong and whom I serve. And this is what he said to me. Paul, do not be afraid. Why? Because you must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. That is anointing by association, blessing by association. Can I speak to a Paul here? Whatever God has planned for you has got to come to pass. Paul must stand before Caesar. Irrespective of the Euryclidon, he has got to stand before Caesar. Irrespective of the storm, of the tempest, of the adversity, of the calamity, there is hope for you. You must stand where God wants you to stand. You will stand there after this has gone. And these guys are saying, are you crazy? Do you see what's going out there? Can you see that there's no light? Did you hear the waves beating at this boat? Can you see us being tossed up and down? And you are saying, what? Yeah. Paul was assured that night that whatever happens, you know, this boat may disintegrate into pieces, but I will still make it. And that's what happened, by the way. The boat got beaten into bits, into planks. People were floating on planks. Just because God had said that he would stand before Caesar and all the other people with him. You will stand in the place that God wants you to stand. That sickness may not be the end of it. That issue is not the end of it. There is light that is coming your way. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why, my friend, you must have capacity for hope. You must have capacity for hope. Make room for hope. Despair, pessimism, hopelessness, depression, we are pouring you out of our vessels. And we are filling ourselves this morning and this afternoon with hope. Christ, the hope of our glory. Hallelujah. The Greek word, the Hebrew word for hope, You know, there are many words for hope depending on the context. But I want to speak about two of them. One of them is kwa. I don't even know how to pronounce it. It means to wait, to look out with eager expectation. You look out for with eager expectations. You do not look at your surroundings. The difference with people who have hope is that they look at their situations as temporary. But those who are pessimistic look at them as permanent, look at them as the end. That's why Paul says, I do not consider these momentary afflictions to be compared to the glory that awaits me. Eager expectation, waiting on God. That means that God is reliable. God is worthy of people's trust. God is reliable. Other things, all the other things are just works of men. God is the only God on whom you must trust. Trusting on Yahweh, trusting on God is the expression of great faith in the face of adversity. Even when the Euroclydon is, you know, at its height. You have to endure patiently in confident hope that God will act decisively for your salvation. Salvation is here. Salvation is here. Your salvation is here. The other word speaks about standing on a solid ground of expectation, a solid ground where you other things may give way, but on this ground you are stood. That's why we sing all the other things are what? A sinking ground. But God is the only solid ground. My hope is in this solid ground. And we see this attribute in a woman called Ruth. Ruth. In chapter 1. Ruth. Ruth is something else. She's a daughter-in-law to Naomi. Naomi has just lost her husband Elimelech. And she's left a widow, of course, with two sons. Now these two sons take wives for themselves from Moabite women. One of them was Orpah, and the other was Ruth. Later calamity falls, and both Mahlon and Chilion also die. So these women are also left without what? Without husbands. Naomi is left with two daughters. She's without a husband and two daughters who have lost a husband. It is a widow's club. So she says, you know what? Some people have called you clubs, you know, they have categorized you as that kind of person, but you are about to shock them, because God is coming for you. He's coming to retrieve you from that so-called club. So she says, I am going back home. This is Naomi. I'm going back to my place where I came from. They started on the journey to Judah. But Naomi turns to her daughters-in-law. In verse 8 of chapter 1, verse Ruth, she tells them, go back, each of you, to return to your mother's house. Go back, please. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown kindness to the dead and to me. May the Lord grant you and find rest, each one of you in the home of her husband. In the home of her husband, she's talking about a future, that they may go and get married. Then she kissed them goodbye. And they wept aloud. And they said to her, no, we will go with you to your people in Judah. But Naomi said, go back, my daughters. Go back. Go back. Why should you go with me? Do I still have sons in this womb? Look at me. I'm old. Look at me. I'm a spent force. Do I have children that can be your husbands? You at this age. Go back. My daughters, go, for I am too old to have a husband. I am too old to have a husband. And if I said I have hope, and if I actually had a husband tonight and even gave birth to sons, would you wait until they were grown? That was common sense. In any person in their right thinking mind could not, would agree with her. Wouldn't you agree with her? She was speaking sense. She said, no, my daughters. For it is too much more difficult for me than for you. Why? Because the Lord's hand has gone against me. And the Bible says that they wept aloud again. And Orpah got some sense in her.
She kissed her mother-in-law goodbye and went. But Ruth clung to her. Ruth had capacity for hope. The Bible says, then Naomi said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Turn back and follow your sister-in-law. There are some people you must not just follow. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord do the same to me as he has done to you and me also. If anything but death separates me from you. When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she said nothing more. Like the young men say, say no more. Say no more. Ruth's capacity of hope was beyond words. It was beyond words. It was beyond common sense. Common sense said, this woman, look at the woman, she's finished. Is there hope with her? Let me go and get some. I'm still young. Let me go and get, you know, there are greener pastures out there. She sees something that Oprah could not see. She has got some different set of eyes. She remained with high expectation in a person that was clearly a spent force. She is finished. She's, you know, is finished by human senses. She's gone. No man wants to marry her. She had even told them. She saw beyond the physical and saw God in Naomi. She saw the possibilities in Naomi. She saw possibilities in an impossible situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 says, for we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are unseen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. She refused to look at the scene. Hope sees. Hope has got eyes. This is what I'm calling the solid ground of expectation. Hope sees. And when it sees something, it sees possibilities in impossibilities, then it begins to trust in God confidently that something good and great is coming out of a hopeless situation. Hope in the face of a hopeless scenario. Hope in the face of a hopeless scenario. Hope that no matter the circumstances, that which you are waiting for today will have to come to pass in Jesus' mighty name. However long and arduous the struggle is, victory is for sure. One author wrote, there is an old man who was asked about his favorite verse in the Bible. The old man replied, it is the one that says, and it came to pass. And it came to pass. When questioned why, he answered, he said, when troubles come, I just say, and it came to pass. When a trouble comes to him, he speaks to it as if it's in the past. And it came to pass. Whatever it is, will come to pass. As a matter of fact, let's follow this old man's saying, it has come to pass. Look, a person of hope, when they look at a situation, adversity, they look at it in the past. They look at it as if it is in the past. It's in the rear mirror. It does not engage. They don't waste time on it. Don't waste, you know, valuable time thinking on something that's about to pass. Something that is temporal. Why? Why waste your time? That's why Jesus said, do not worry about food. You are waiting up, worried about food. Food which you will eat and drink and we know where it goes later on. Clothes that you put on and they will get torn. How many of you still put on clothes that you had in 1967? Those of you who are like me. They will pass. Don't waste your time on valuable stuff. On things that are invaluable. Rather, that they don't have value. Invest your time on the things that are invaluable. Things that hold forever. The eternal. Ruth had something. She had faith. It all depends on faith, my friend. It all depends on faith. The Bible says now faith is the substance of things hoped for. There's things hoped for. The conviction of things not seen. Hope must become substance. Hope
must become matter. Hope must become tangible. It must become real. It must become physical matter, which consists of a solid presence. It must be seen. It must be touched. It must be measured. Give it colors. If you see, if I say, what do you see? I see a house. What house do you see? Give it dimensions. Give it color. If it's a car, what kind of seats are in the car? Smell the leather. If it's leather, come on. That is faith. That's a substance. Your hope becomes a substance. Not only must you see it with the eyes of your mind, the hands of your mind must also touch it and possess it. You cannot have it physically until you have possessed it spiritually. And if it's not imprinted on your mind, then you can never take it away. You can go away with nothing. It has got to be imprinted. Not age, not time, not adversity, absolutely nothing must change that. Because you are fully persuaded that nothing can separate you from it. That's what Paul says. He says nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Is it tribulation? Distress? Persecution? Famine? Nakedness? Peril or sword? Those cannot affect us from, they cannot separate us from Christ, who is our hope. Because in him we are more than conquerors. You are more than a conqueror. Hope must become a substance. It must become evidence. You must have it. You must see it. You must touch it. If you cannot, then you have nothing. Your hope must become faith. Hallelujah. In verse 2 and 3, Hebrews 11, Bible says, for by it, by what? By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Those who went before us. Verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God. Through faith it was formed by the word. We are not made of things that do appear. And that's what Ruth knew. When she looked at Naomi, she saw the things that are unseen. She had the capacity to see the things that are not yet, as though they are. She saw a husband in this old woman, although this woman was in no form or shape to give her a husband. But she saw beyond this woman. She saw the unseen. She knew that what is not seen in Naomi can be made seen by God. And that takes special eyes, my friend. It takes special lenses. And those lenses are called the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. Revelation. That's why Paul prays for the Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. Please throw that up for me as we finish. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 16. It says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention for you in my prayers. He's talking to the church at Ephesus as he's speaking to us. Continue. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Why? That the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He's praying for their spiritual eyes to be enlightened, to begin to see the seen out of the unseen. The unseen out of the seen, rather. To begin to see the unseen out of the seen. To begin to see the greatness of his power toward those who believe. Those who believe. Those who have hope. The same power that he worked through Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. It all depends on faith. Abraham received a promise in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1. That he would be the father of nations. He grows up, age catches up, and the child is not coming. The promise is not coming. But Paul writes about him in Romans chapter 4. The Bible says that the fulfillment of the promise had to come. And the fulfillment of the promise did not come because of the law. Did not come because of the law. Romans 4:13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law. but through the righteousness of faith. Faith, which is the substance of things hoped for. Abraham walked. He traversed his village with the substance that he had Isaac, even when Isaac was not there. That is what brought the promise to be coming. Hallelujah. Verse 14. What does he say? For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void. Do you understand? It's not about the law. It's about faith. And the promise made of no effect. The promise is made of effect through faith. Through hope being made substance. Why? Because the law brings about wrath. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Because the law brings about wrath. For there is no law. For where there is no law, there is no transgression. Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith. This is what happened to the promise. The promise he's talking about. The promise is of faith that it may be according to his grace. To grace, the grace of God. So that the promise may be sure to all the seed. To all the seed. Not only to Abraham, but to all the seed, to all of you and the ones to come. Not only those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Not only to the Jews, but also to us, the Gentiles. Who is the father of us all. Verse 17. For it, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who believed. Who believed God. God gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Verse 18. Who contrary to hope, in hope, he hoped against hope. Abraham hoped against hope. He believed that he would become the father of the nations according to the word that was spoken. What word have you heard? Do you have even a word on which you stand? If you have a word that has been spoken about your life, irrespective of what happens in your life, you stand in that hope, believing that it will come to pass in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And because of that, verse 19 says, he did not weaken in his faith. He did not weaken in his faith. He did not look at his body and considered it already dead. No. Even his wife whose womb was already dead. He looked at them, but he still kept. He hung on to the promise. He did not waver. Verse 20. He did not waver. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He remained with hope. That I may be 100, but I will have a child. I may not have teeth in my mouth, but I will. God knows how to make sure that you have lost all teeth. Then he brings meat. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He kept the hope, but was strengthened in faith. Faith, the substance of things hoped for, giving glory to God. He had substance. What kept Abraham was he had substance. He had substance. He had the assurance. He rested in assurance that he had Isaac. And because of that, the Bible says that he counted unto him as righteous. Continue. My God. Verse 21, please. Mandere broshi keri araba. And being fully convinced, not half, not quarter. I don't know how convinced you are about God. Maybe you are in a quarter, but today I want you to be fully convinced that he who had the promise was able to perform. He who promised is able, and therefore it was accounted him for righteousness. Now, verse 23 is very key. It was not written for his sake alone. Mm-mm. No. It was imputed to him, but also for us. It shall be imputed to us who believe. If you have belief today, if you have hope, it is imputed upon you as well. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Without wavering. Without wavering. Let us hold fast the profession of our substance of things hoped for without wavering. Do you have the substance? If you don't have the substance, my friend, you cannot have it. The substance, you have got to have the substance. That's what's called faith. Say, for he who promised is faithful to accomplish. The onus is on you to believe. For him, he has already done it. His faith, he will do it according to your faith. According to your faith. Jesus Christ healed many. And he says, it's, lady, you were healed according to your faith. It's your faith that has made you whole. It's their faith, faith. Many would surround him, but some people came with different faith. They came with substance. The woman said, if I may touch him, if I only touch his garment, I will be healed. When did she get healed? She got healed when she said that to herself. When she got the substance. So that when she came to him, it became reality. As she had said. As she had believed. Hallelujah. Romans 15, 13. This is what I pray for you. As Paul prayed for the church of Rome. Now, may the God of hope. This hope has a God. Hope has a God. Hope has an owner. May the God of hope fill you. May he fill you to capacity. May he fill me to capacity with all joy and peace in believing. In believing. In believing. In not doubt. No room for doubt. No room for depression. No room for pessimism. That you may abound, increase in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. As we conclude, I just want to invite you to close your eyes for a moment, wherever you are. Close your eyes for a moment. As you close those eyes, I want you to look at your situation right now. Look at that situation right now. For some of us, it's very dire. For some of us, it's gone. For some of us, there's no light. But I want you to see past the situation in the future. Are you able to see past that situation into the future? Are you able to see past that situation into the promise of God? Are you able to see past the limitations, past the barriers? What do you see this afternoon? That which you see, that hope that you see, that picture, that good picture that you see, I want you to capture that image. Capture it and crystallize it and hold it in the mind of your eye. Hold it there. Frame it as a picture. Make it tangible. Make it tangible. Begin to see its color. What color is it? Is it a house? How many rooms are there? Is it storied? How many stories are there? Do you see the compound? Do you see? What is it? Is it a car? What color is it? What make? Look at the interior. What is it? Do you have hope that it can happen? Let it become so tangible. Like that woman with the issue of blood. When she said, she made it tangible. If I shall touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And the moment she got there, that's what happens. Make it so tangible that when it comes to pass, it may seem like a mere echo of the reality that has already succeeded in the eye of your mind. My friend, that is how you increase your capacity for hope. Make your hope faith. Make it the substance. Touch it. See it. Own it before it can happen. That is how you're going to make it to the other end. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Father, I pray that your hope shall increase and abound in your children now and forevermore. That even in the dire situations that are facing them, they will look beyond them because they have the substance of that thing that they are hoping for, that desired outcome in their lives. Whether it is in their families, whether it is in their careers, whether it is in their businesses, my Father, in the ministry, it is coming to pass as long as we have the substance. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask all this through the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And somebody shouts, amen, and amen, and amen. If you held that image in your mind, if you have that substance, my friend, I have good news for you. You will testify. You will testify. Hallelujah. That your capacity for hope has been increased, and do not lose it. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's give him a clap of praise. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.